Yeah, thank you. Give you a shot here. And it just dawned on me, oh no, I forgot to get somebody. So, good deal. Thank you. Thank you. Right at the end of the message, I'll give you a nod. Thank you very much. Oh my goodness. We're going to look at, we're out of Thessalonians. And I don't like lengthy studies. So we're moving and we're going to look in Philippians today. As we go there, I want our two musicians to know we're proud of you and we thank you. We thank you. We surely do. And we'll keep you rotating in. You're doing, if you're willing. We'll keep you going, and we like that, and it adds variety. That's why I'm in total different attire today. And I'd mentioned to you, I warned you, that I got these Hokas. And I used to order stuff from Cabela's. I don't know if y'all remember Cabela's, the only place I'd went on. Well, you know, Bass Pro Shop bought them out and ruined them. Now they're sissy clothes. So I get a lot of stuff from Duluth, and this is a Duluth shirt, and so I wanted a shirt and my Hokas. I thought, I'm just going to do things different and encourage you to do it too, just do it. So everybody watching out there is saying, what, is he ill? I'm a late bloomer, and this is my midlife crisis. So there it is. We're going to look in Philippians, because right here in this passage, there's a doctrinal twist, and I see a twist. You need to know this doctrine. Now, I'm hitting things that are very essential to the Christian faith. If you did, you probably picked that up because I was highlighting it in Thessalonians. What we've really been doing is we're looking at solid, foundational Christian doctrines that you must know. And don't let anybody mess with. Don't let anybody talk to you and tell you something that, you know, is not right. Today we're going to jump into an area that has been touchy for Baptist, the mainline people, whoever, Methodists, Presbyterians, you know, and non-denominationals, it doesn't matter. And it's on this issue of salvation. And a passage here that is just startled many theologians, it's been subject to a lot of discussion in seminary classrooms for those today that even go to seminary. And I won't chase that rabbit very far, but there are a lot of guys that just walk right out of nowhere. No training, no theological studies, no idea of Greek or Hebrew or anything, and they go to some conference out in California somewhere, and they come back and think that they're God's almighty pastors to everybody, and they don't know squat about the Word. And so all they preach is feel-good stuff. And if that offends one of them, I hope it does. Come out here, and I'll meet you in the parking lot. That's the way I feel. But they're too gutless to do it anyway. But you've got to know the Word. How dare anyone stand up here in this position and at least not try and copy messages off the internet from some guru out in some place that sends them out on the internet. And I know, because I went to the training. I went through the whole thing. And they even have messages and they send them to you, and you're supposed to tailor that already written message to your people. Well, boy, that's a word from God for your folks. And so enough said. And so that's why I'm saying it, though, not to be on a soapbox. I'm saying it to say this. That's why you need to know the doctrines and not be misled. And in this particular passage today, it's only two verses, but wow, we're really hit square in the face with some doctrinal issues. And I'll read them to you here, and we'll read them together in Philippians 2, and it's verses 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Get this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, if this never hit you, it should. And you need to be saying, say what? Did he say work out your own salvation? How can we work our salvation? That is a gift of God by grace. And so this stuff should make your mind start going and say, whoa, wait a minute. What? There's something here that we have been told. There's something strange about this. Yeah, there is. And he goes on then to say, you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. What is he talking about? And you should ask yourself these questions. You're not offending God when you say, God, what are you talking about? I read over in Ephesians, you know, for by grace we are saved through faith. This not of yourself, that is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then you turn around here and say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And when you run into something like that, don't be afraid to say, God, what's the answer? What is it that I'm not getting here? Instead of just passing it off. And then somebody will come along and write a book or bring some teaching on it and lead you astray. We don't want that to happen. God doesn't want that to happen. So title this, Understanding God's Plan of Salvation. And what he means by this. What did Paul mean? What was God saying through Paul writing the Philippians? What do you mean? So here we go. First of all, he's talking about work out your own salvation. This is not a lengthy, it's not meant to be lengthy, and I shouldn't even say that to you because sometimes, I don't know, Lord just takes over, and so I don't ever have enough notes to go in the detail we go into. It's just God starts just bringing it out, and that's what should happen, the Holy Spirit take over. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We're going to break that up. First of all, working out your salvation. You're going to have to understand the uniqueness of salvation. And we've been taught something that's true. For by grace you are saved. Through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And it's not of works. Lest anyone should boast. That's over in Ephesians 2. So what happened here? What he's saying is this. These words aren't in here. But you need to know these two words that come up because of this passage, and they're called regeneration and justification. Regeneration and justification. You can put a slash there, or you can put a regeneration and. So regeneration, justification comes by grace through faith. And here's what it means. We believe in Jesus, and we're born again. You remember in John 3 when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and he said, you must be born again, and Nicodemus couldn't get it. He said, I can't get back in my mother's womb and start off, you know, as a little baby. So what does this mean? And Jesus said, no, you don't get it. You're a teacher of the law of Israel, you're a teacher here, and you don't even understand what that means. He said, we're not talking about going back into the womb and being born a baby again. We're talking about being born into the Holy Spirit, into the kingdom of God. We're talking about you're a brand new little child, little baby in Christ. It's about accepting him and renouncing your sins, asking forgiveness, repenting of them. And then what happens? You are then born into the kingdom of God. You're born again. But you're a baby, and you have to grow up. And we grow, and spiritually we grow through from the baby phase where God is spoon feeding us, giving us lots and lots of grace, and to that, you know, little childhood phase, and our stumbling and bumbling, and God still has lots of grace, and then that adolescent, and then as we move on into young adulthood, and then you follow this in your salvation experience. When you were first saved, there's just a lot of grace everywhere. God just there was so much the grace and the happiness and joy. But as you matured, as you begin to walk in the Spirit, know Christ, know his word, things got a little tougher. And you found that you were allowed by the Lord to experience things you never thought you'd experience. And it's sort of a parallel to this earthly existence, except it's on a spiritual, heavenly plane. Is everybody with me in this? And you might question yourself today, or question God, saying, I just don't see as much of your grace. I experienced too many things, too many hardships, too many illnesses. What's going on? It's, that's part of the spiritual growth. I prepare you for heaven. But in the meantime, understand regeneration and justification. When we believe in Jesus, we're born again. You know, that's where this theological doctrinal word comes in. When I ask Christ into my heart and to forgive me of my sins, I am regenerated, born again. That's what that word means. So he regenerates me in the Spirit. And I'm a whole new creature, right? That's what Scripture says. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So I'm born again. I am regenerated. Nowhere else can it happen, no other way, except through Christ. And through regeneration, being born again, comes justification. So I ask Jesus in my heart. I repent of my sins. I ask him in my heart. And I'm born again and I'm saved. But then I'm regenerated. But then justification comes in this place. Now that that happens and I repent of my sins, that's when I discover what Jesus did on the cross. He took my sins, your sins, on himself on the cross. He nailed them there. He's cast them then into the depths of the sea and removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. And God remembers them no more. That's what justification is. I stand justified by the blood of Jesus. I'm regenerated. I'm saved. And justification says, and I'm totally, completely, eternally forgiven because Jesus is my substitute at the altar. And he's the one that bled and died and took my place. This is the solid doctrine of Christianity. Now, you can go teach in any seminary right now. You're qualified. This is a fact, and so few Christians know this and understand it, and they get confused by false prophets and false teachers. I was reading in the bulletin this morning, and thank you for that, Tom, and about false prophets, and boy, you buy their fruits, you'll know them. Be careful. That's why you're getting this. So I am regenerated when I'm born again, and then I'm justified. And by the way, if anybody has a problem with it, break the word down, and it'll help you. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned, is what the blood of Jesus does for me in God's eyes. He's taken on himself. So now I have regeneration. I have justification. Through regeneration comes justification. Jesus is our atoning sacrifice, forgiving, cleansing us from all sin. He cast them all into depths of sea. Man, you need to pray. Listen, folks, you need to praise God every day. I encourage you to praise God every day of your life for that. And every day we'll sin, and every day we can ask forgiveness to stay in fellowship. And God's saying, I already forgave it. I already cast it in the depths of the sea. My son Jesus has covered all that. You're regenerated and you're justified. I look at you and I see you holy and blameless before me. And you're saying, well, I don't look at myself that way. No, you don't, because you don't have that heavenly perspective yet. But you will. So everything's cast in the sea and removed from me as far as east and the west, and from east is from the west, and get this, there's no works here. Only faith and grace in operation. Faith in Christ and God's grace doing all of this. Is that powerful or what? Now you know, and when you hear these words, you'll know what they mean. You know how they apply. I'm regenerated, I'm born again, and I'm justified because Jesus took it all on himself. I'll never, ever be punished, never be condemned, because Jesus has already taken it, and he was already condemned on the cross and rose again for me. Now, let's take this second part. We're good on that? Now, what does he mean then when working out with fear and trembling? It's like, Okay, now Harry, we got that. Thank you. Now, what? Fear and trembling? I'm to work it out? Oh, there's another part of salvation that we forget. It's not a part of being saved. It's what comes from salvation. Now, everybody pay attention now. Listen to this. It says, I want you to work your salvation out with fear and trembling. Now, what he's not being, he didn't say, I want you to be saved with fear and trembling. I want you to work it. He said, I want you to work it out now that you have been. Is what the whole tone, the whole reference is. I want you, he's saying, to work out your salvation. Now that you're regenerated, now you're justified. I want you to work it out with fear and trembling. I want you to live with fear and trembling now that you have that. Well, what in the world? Another aspect of salvation then is sanctification. See? We've hit on this in other passages, in other messages. And so now comes with regeneration and justification. Now we're looking at another working part of the whole thing, and that is sanctification. And that's where, now, see, Jesus Christ is my Savior. But there's a place where he's to become my Lord, and that's being sanctified to him, set apart to him for works, for good works, which he prepared, it says, you know, beforehand. So once I'm born again and I'm justified, God expects me to live a life where people see that I am. And that's where the works come in. Faith without works is dead. And if people don't have works, if they don't have some kind of testimony, then were they regenerated in the first place? It's not for us to judge, but you can sure look at their fruits and say, because when you are truly born again, regenerated, and you're justified, the Holy Spirit, you're given God's Holy Spirit, and he begins a stirring in your heart that says, go out, love people, help people, do for people. Let them see me in you, Christ in me, my hope of glory. And then, so that's where we come into this working out with fear and trembling. You know, we're set apart to God, sanctified only to God, for God's will and for God's good works. The sanctified Christian shows by their works that they're truly regenerated and justified. See how this works together? I can tell you all day long as a false prophet, oh yeah, I'm that, I'm sure, I'm, yeah. But you're going to look at my life and say, where are the works? In other words, where's the fruits? Because the fruits have to come on the tree. If you're regenerated and you're sanctified, you're regenerated, you're justified, sanctification, you're set apart to God, and he becomes the Lord of your life, and you're going to bear fruit. You're going to have some joy. You're going to have some happiness. You're going to have some peace. You're going to learn to tolerate people better. You're going to learn to forgive. You're going to learn to be able to stand out there and sit down with someone and say, God, give me a discerning spirit and wisdom here. I want to talk to you. You put this person in my path not for me to be angry at, for me to help them. They've got a problem. And you begin to see life from God's perspective, not your own. You're changed. You're a regenerated, justified, sanctified person. And now your whole life starts focusing in on how can God use me today? I want to be open to him to help somebody else, to minister to somebody else, to do for others, to love them more than I love myself. You ever ask God, God, let me fall in love with you all over again. I want you to be the love of my life. I'm so regenerated, so justified, and this sanctifying process, Lord, that's what needs to be happening with you. And you're praying in your prayers, and Lord, in the sanctification process of me being set apart to you is just making my heart rejoice. And I just want to be open to you. I want you to use me today as your vessel. I don't want to go on my own. I give you my body. It's not mine. I give it to you as your temple, and my spirit and my soul, my will, my emotions, my mental process, everything, my thinking, thoughts. God, take them. Glorify yourself through them. That's what happens in sanctification, being set apart. Now your whole outward life is changed where people automatically see, whoa, this gal, this guy, and they're different. What makes them different? Hey, how come you didn't punch that guy in the nose a while ago? Why didn't you smack him upside the head? Ladies, you know, why don't you tell her off? Women are good at telling each other off. I've witnessed it so many times, you know. It's like, Tony, never get between two angry gals.
Gals today,
you know, and guys, they'll just, you know, they'll start yelling and cussing and doing all this stuff, and don't get between them either, because I don't want... I saw one specific episode of... Remember JAG? Anybody ever watch JAG? Okay. Sure. Oh, great. Great series, I thought. But this one poor guy got between these two officers who were mad at each other, and they both swung at the same time, but he stepped in the middle, did unknowingly, and they broke his jaw. And I thought, that's what happens when you get between two people in a fight, male or female. I've never seen anybody be able to tell each other off more than two gals that are mad at each other. Or to start swinging quicker than two guys upset. You see, so what has this got to do with any of this? God changes you to where you can stop the fight. You don't get in it. You're a peacemaker now. You're not a coward. As a matter of fact, you've become one of the boldest people on earth. Because God gives you the words and the demeanor and the character to where His presence in you floods the situation, and people that were angry and about, you know, start yelling at each other, tearing each other's hair out, start smacking each other in the head, suddenly are hesitating. Why? Because Christ is there in you. They don't realize that, but they know there's a power now restraining them, forcing them to talk it out rather than beat it out of each other. So let's get on with this thing and this fear and trembling aspect, because it caught me off guard as long as I've studied this, and I thought, why now, Lord, after all these years, are you confronting me with a passage that I've just kind of read over, never seen much, two verses, and you bring a message out of that, and it's like, oh yeah, because you're missing all of this doctrinal stuff in two verses. And my people need it, and you need to go back over it again, because you've lost something in the process. So here we are, you know. And so what is the fear and trembling? Let's look at it. The fear. You know what the fear he's talking about is? He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That fear in the Greek, when you look at this, it means holy, reverential fear of God. Not running in terror like at Mount Sinai, that if they even touch the mount, I'll die. Our fire's going to fall on me and consume me. Not that fear. That holy reverential fear that Moses had to entertain, begin to understand with the burning bush. When God said, take your shoes off your own holy ground. And that reverential holy fear that says, I don't need to be playing around with prayer. Making jokes about it. I got to stop my mouth right here. I'm on holy ground. I'm a holy person. God's made me holy by the blood of Christ, my faith in Him. And this is a burning bush experience, and I can't joke and play around. This is serious business. It's that holy reverential fear of, I'm in the presence of Almighty God. He can consume me at any moment. He can take my life, and yet He lets me live. He has purpose and mission for me, and I'm totally overwhelmed by it and surrendered to it. That's the fear He's looking for. The fear of opening my mouth or taking an action that's dishonoring to Him. I don't want to grieve His Holy Spirit. God wants you to have the attitude of the committed Christian, where you walk in the joy of the Lord, but not wanting at any time to say or to do anything that would offend God. And when you do, which we inevitably do, that you're quick, I mean running to Him in prayer and saying, God, I opened my mouth and dishonored you. I dishonored my temple. Lord, I committed an act. I did an obscene gesture out there. I've done that. God, that is so unbecoming of who you are. I repent, God, forgive me. That's that kind of fear and trembling. Trembling. Look, we were put here on this earth to live in the joy of the Lord. This is not the fear to take away that joy, it's to enhance it. God wants me at the place in my sanctification, my set apartness to Him as holy. He wants me in that place, so set apart to Him, that before I commit the act, say the word, think the thought, I'm convicted of it and I'm saying, no, I cannot do this to my Lord. It's not about me any longer and my pride and my ego and what people think of me. It's what they think of God. And I don't want to give a bad impression of the Lord through my bad behavior or my bad words. This is serious stuff. That's what he's talking about. Fear and trembling. He said, I want you to tremble at the very thought of hurting God. I want you to just tremble that, oh my, I almost said those words. I almost said something to that person who would drive them so far away they'll never be open to Christ. That's what he wants. That's the trembling. You know, we should literally be shaken and trembling of what we've almost done. And God restrained us. That's what he's talking about. It's the fear and the trembling of working out my salvation, not being saved, but letting people see it. It's when they see my mouth start to open and work and nothing comes out because the fear and trembling of the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit is shutting it. Now, as Christians, we've all had this happen, haven't we? Somewhere our mouth was, and it was, the Holy Spirit's just like cranking down on it. Don't do it. Don't you say it. I'll admit to you as a pastor, and over 40 years of this business, there have been rare times, but a few times, when my fist was there, and I was drawn back, and I wanted so bad to lay somebody down. I can't take, and I've told you this, somebody yelling in my face and spittle, saliva hitting me in the face, that fist starts coming back. I mean, and God so many times had me just quivering. Was it humiliating? I don't mean, this didn't happen here, it happened other places. But I've driven home so humiliated, so broken. And yet at the same time, knowing God was so proud that I did not behave like the person in front of me. And some of you have been around and seen it. And witnessed it, some terrible attacks. And you know, just quivering. I mean, shaking. Because of what I do. You just can't be whacking people over the head. People kind of frown on pastors punching somebody in the jaw. So what we do is go hire someone to do it for us. Anyway. What I'm trying to say is I'm no perfect example. I'm not. I'm simply saying that I've experienced this. And there's times that things have gotten away from me and haven't hit anybody in the church. But there have been times I've said some things and wished I hadn't said them. I didn't, you know, I was thinking, God, I wish, and I had to ask forgiveness. So I'm not perfect with it. I'm just saying that I've had to experience that when my mouth is wanting so bad to say, my fist is working back, and it's like, no, you're my property. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, thus saith the Lord. And there's some folks here who've seen some people in the past, real ugly to me, and you know where they are now? Dead. Every one of them that I can remember, the meanest ones I can think of, died of terrible ways. You're saying, God will do that? Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. Now, am I glad they're dead? Not really. Part of me is, but not really. But I'm talking about some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life. I keep looking over here, you're nodding your head, but we would call themselves Christians, but by their fruits you'll know them. I can find any fruits, nobody can find any fruit. Friends, you're going to be faced with this kind of thing. There's going to be times when that woman part of you that says, I'm not going to be insulted like that, or that man part of you that says, I don't take this, I'm not going to let this be said about my family, and you're wanting to, and God is saying, I see this, I hear this, you are sanctified to me, but fear and trembling, right now, you better have fear and trembling at doing what you want to do in the flesh, because I have things I'm going to do for you, and you've got to walk away from this mess. I share my heart and I share experiences I've had, not to say, look at me, far from it, but to say I'm not saying anything where I haven't been there and had to yield like this. So fear and trembling before the Lord, the fear that I dishonor Him, the trembling about what I almost did. Everybody with me? Got it now? That's what He's saying, you work that out. Now that you're a saved person, expect you to live like one and act like one. That boils it down. Then I want to close with this. Oh yeah. I want to close with this. I'm particularly hungry today. I don't know why. I do know why. I drank this green slime shake for breakfast, and it filled me up for about 22 minutes. I mean, it just made me hungry. Anyway, thirdly, understand that God does everything. And He's going to do it all through you. There's a catch in here. There's a catch in here. And He says, work it out with fear and trembling. I was overwhelmed at first. I was thinking, God, I did. Working on this message, doing the research. And it's like, God, I don't think I live up to this. And I'm going to go up here and bring this. I want to live up to it. And I'll try. I'll do it for you because you want it. And then suddenly I was so convicted, and there it was. And it's like, you're going to do what? I heard this in my head. You're going to do what? And I repeated it to myself, to God. I'm going to do my best for you. I'll do. You can't do anything for me, Tony. I do it through you. And I got to thinking about how many times myself and others, maybe you've done it yourself, you said something like, I'm going to do so-and-so for God. I'm just going to make this visit for God. You're going to do what for God? Does He need you to do something for Him? Or does He want you to let Him do something through you? What can I do for God? Change His chariot tire? Think about it. What am I going to do for Him? Nothing. What a fallacy. That's a false teaching. But I can open my heart through regeneration, justification, sanctification, and let Christ in me use me to do what He wants to do. You quit trying to do it and let God do it. And He lays out this, seems like, hard and fear and trembling and all this. And then God, what does He say in this passage? He says, for it is, He tells you the answer. He says, you can do this. Why? Because it's God who works in you, both to will and do for His good pleasure. He said, I'm not asking you to do this and have this kind of restraint on your own. God, listen to this. God never calls you to do, ask you to do anything that He doesn't equip you to do. God never sends you into battle without a full load of ammunition. and all the backup and support that you can imagine. Think about it. God will not ask you ever to do something that He has not gifted, equipped, and supplied for you to do. And if you have been going into situations and you just don't have the gift in doing it, you better check and see whether God told you to do it in the first place. Because when God calls, when God directs you, He equips you and He gives you plenty to get the job done. Because He's doing it through you. So God enables and empowers you to live out this sanctification. He's working within you and through you. We don't live out God's will on our own. He never asked us to do it. I hear people say, and I grew up with this, and I grew up with it, grew up in the church with it. And I was taught this, and it's erroneous. You must seek God's will and seek it until you find it. You've got to find the will of God in your life. Where in Scripture did it tell me to do that? You know what Scripture tells you? If Christ is in me, His will is in me, and if I listen to Him, He'll fulfill it and work it out and direct me exactly where He wants me to be within His will. God does it all. Listen to this. How awful this is. God, to think that God puts us here. He saves us, right? So we're regenerated and we're justified. And He says, now go find me. Go find my hidden will. Look under every stone. Getting yourself into trouble. Go get into things you're not equipped to do. Looking for my will. Go look for my... It's an Easter egg hunt. Oh, God, thank you for saving me. Now I've got to go, what? Hunt the spiritual Easter egg to find the one that has the will of God in it. How absurd. And I said this word in a Baptist church once and I got condemned for it. How asinine. We don't go hunting God's will. We open our heart to God who's already put it within us and listen to Him. You really do deep down know what His will is. It's just asking you to do something more than you want to do. He's put it there. So knowing that, we don't have to go out hunting anymore. Ask God, whatever's blocking, you listening to Him, His Holy Spirit, take that away. I want you to fulfill your will. Fulfill it. It's not hidden. It's right here. Direct me, Lord, every step, every moment of every day to be in your will. And I trust it to you. Trust myself to you. Many Christians live with a misunderstanding of Scripture that they've got to go find, not realizing that they're already found. You're already found. The Lord hunted you down and saved your soul and saved your life and put His Holy Spirit, His will in you. Now just speak it and live it. Let Him guide you through it. Well, I put a word here, the key. I'm going to give you a key. Yield, submit to God. In other words, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. And everything you need will be added to you. So you yield and submit to God. And you will experience the greatest joy. The joy of living. The joy of God living in you. And doing things through you. That you never even could dream on your own. You want joy? Open your heart to God and start blessing and praising Him for His regeneration, His justification, His sanctification. And the joy of the Lord will overwhelm you. And you will see God in you doing just what He said He'd do. He is able to do far exceeding beyond anything you can ask or imagine. And all you got to do is just let it happen. Christ in you, your hope of glory. We thank you for your word. We thank you for a thorough understanding of how this works. Father, we thank you that you're in us, living in us and through us, that you love us. We thank you, Father, for regenerating us through new birth in Christ, born again in the kingdom of God. We thank you for justifying us just as if we'd never sinned. And God, thank you for setting us apart, sanctifying us to you, and putting your will in our hearts. We have it all. We don't have to go looking. We just have to open up, yield, submit, and say, have at it, Lord. I'm all yours. In Jesus' name, amen.